We're holding Parshas Veschanan, the third night. We're focusing on Parshas Veschanan. Again, I just want to remind everyone we should still be davening for our people in Gush Katif, who a lot of them are no longer in Gush Katif. Davening for the land of Israel, because it's still in our rule. We haven't given it over yet, and we could still daven that won't happen. The Prime Minister has said, I was told, that he's crying when he sees what's happening. And who knows? He could still change his mind. The people could change their mind. A lot of things could happen. So there's what to daven for. And we have to daven for the people's future. We have 9,000 people whose homes were destroyed. And our horrendous stories. There's a woman who was maimed. She's in a wheelchair. And she built a whole house in Gush Katif, specifically designed for her, so that she could manage. And they put all their money, all their savings into that house. They have to build a new life. Every person has to build a new life, but these people, some people are going to have it harder. And we have to daven for our soldiers. Our soldiers, our policemen. The Torah gives us a special blessing that when we'll go to war, we have a mitzvah to go to war. We have to conquer the land of Israel. And the nature of man is that when he has to do certain acts, he has to kill, even if it's his enemy, that affects him, that causes him to be a cruel person. And the Torah gives us a promise that when we fight the wars, that it's a mitzvah to fight. Hashem promises us he's going to maintain our humanity. We will not become cruel people as a result of it. Well, people are doing acts now where I don't think we can count on that promise. So we have to daven that if people are cruel now, they should do tshuva, and if they weren't cruel until today, they shouldn't start being cruel today. The Gemara tells us that Rabbi Meir had people who were sinful in his vicinity, and they were making him problems. So he davened that they should pass away. And his wife Bruria, who was very wise, told him, No, we have to daven they should stop sinning. It says that Yitamu Chatoim in Arts. We want the sins to stop being in the land, not that the sinners should stop being in the land. And he prayed that they should stop sinning, and they were Chozer B'tshuva. They repented. So we have to daven for them as well. And, obviously, we have to daven for our Rosh HaMemshala. We were holding in the parasha Moshe Rabbeinu had set aside the three cities, the three Ari Miklat, even though they weren't going to have taken into effect until the other three were set aside, until all six were established. But Moshe Rabbeinu saw he could do a mitzvah, he did it right away. We have a pasuk that says Ushmartem es ha-matzos, watch the matzos. So that pasuk has a lot of halachic relevance. Chazal say, what does it mean, watch the matzos? So we understand that to mean that we should watch them from becoming chametz. So you'll say, isn't that obvious? If the Torah tells us you're not allowed to eat chametz, leavened bread on Pesach, and you have to eat matzah, and the difference between matzah and chametz is a few seconds, if you don't watch it, if you don't take care that it doesn't become chametz, obviously it's going to become chametz. So every mitzvah we have to watch ourselves not to transgress. Why does the Torah have to tell us watch the matzos? So Chazal learned out from that we need a watching beyond what we need for other mitzvos. Either that we need to watch the matzos lishma, for the sake of matzos. So we do a lot of things l'shem matzos mitzvah, for the mitzvah of matzos, because we say if the Torah said watch them, it didn't mean just watch them from coming chametz, because that's self-evident. Or it means we need a watching beyond other mitzvos that the Torah gives us. So that's why some hold that you have to watch the flour from the time you cut the wheat, from the time you grind the wheat, from different stages, even though on any other prohibition that the Torah gives us, we're not as cautious. We're cautious. We don't want to transgress, but not as cautious. The Torah tells us, watch yourself. So we understand that means we have to add watchings beyond what we would on any other mitzvah. But Chazal also tell us that we learn from this pasuk, Mitzvah abo liyodcho al tachmitzeno. Ushmartem es hamatzos. We also understand it as hamitzvos, that mitzvah haba liyodcha, when a mitzvah comes to your hand, al tachmitzena, don't let it rise, like you leave dough on the table to rise. Don't let it like become chametz. You have a chance to do mitzvah, grab it, do it. And that's what we ended with yesterday, that we're in a world where we have gems all around us, and we're so used to it, we're so accustomed to the fact that we could perform mitzvahs, that we take it lightly. And Moshe Rabbeinu didn't take it lightly. Everyone was busy gathering money when we left Mitzrayim. What was Moshe Rabbeinu busy doing? He was busy fulfilling a promise to Yosef. When Yosef passed away, he said, take my bones out. Chazal tells, that's Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvos. One who has a wise heart, he grabs mitzvos. Everyone else, they become accustomed to having these jewels all around them. So over here also, Moshe Rabbeinu had the opportunity to grab this mitzvah, to set aside the three Ari Miklat, the three that were on the eastern side of the Jordan. He grabbed that mitzvah. He set up those three Ari Miklat. Moshe Rabbeinu calls the Jewish people together and he tells them, I want you to listen to what I'm telling you and teach it to your children. And then Moshe Rabbeinu reviews with the Jewish people the treaty that God cut with the Jewish people, the pact we made with God at Mount Sinai. At Mount Sinai we were given the Aser Sadibros, but there was also a bris. There was a sacrifice and the blood was sprinkled on the Jewish people. And Moshe Rabbeinu told them, this is the Dam HaBris, this is the blood of the pact you're making with God, you're going to be God's people. And then Moshe Rabbeinu reviews with them what happened at Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments. So in this week's Parsha we have a review of what was said in Parshas Yisro, the Ten Commandments. And there are differences between what's written there and what's written here. So the simple understanding is that here Moshe Rabbeinu is quoting to the Jewish people that which was said at Mount Sinai. But his job is not only to quote it, his job is to explain it. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu uses other words sometimes to give a better understanding of what was meant in the Aser Sadibros that were given in Parshas Yisro. It's not a quote verbatim. A lot of it is, but some of it isn't, because Moshe Rabbeinu adds an explanation, because Sefer Dvarim is Moshe Rabbeinu speaking. We see that Moshe Rabbeinu uses a different tense than he does in the other four books. In the other four books, it's Vayomer Hashem el Moshe Lema. Moshe Rabbeinu is in third person. He doesn't say Eli to me. Suddenly, Sefer Dvar, Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking to me, Eli. Edber Hashem Eli, I. Moshe Rabbeinu first defined himself as the author of the Torah and Sefer Dvar. Sefer Dvar, suddenly Moshe Rabbeinu identifies himself. Suddenly he says, I. So Moshe Rabbeinu reviews with the Jewish people the Aser Sadibros, the Ten Commandments. Firstly, Hashem introduces himself. There's a machlokas whether this is the first of the Aser Sadibros. Anochi Hashem Lokech, I am Hashem, your God. So we're accustomed to the Rambam's understanding that this is a mitzvah. We have to recognize that Hashem is the God. There's only one God. But not all Rishonim agree with that. Some say that this is just the introduction. God says, I'm giving you commandments. Who am I? I am Hashem, your God. That's an introduction. And then we have the commandments. Hashem introduces himself. He says, I am Hashem, your God. I took you out of Mitzrayim. There was a person by the name of Rabbi Yehuda Halevi. He was a big Talmud Chacham. He lived approximately 800 years ago. No, more. He lived over 900 years ago. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi. And he wrote a sefer called the Kuzari, in which he describes philosophical arguments of the Jewish people and understandings of mitzvos and philosophical concepts in Judaism. The sefer is written as a story. There's a king who has a recurring dream that he has to find a different way of serving his creator, and he interviews people from different religions, and each one tells him, we believe in the God who created the world. And each one, he has a different question to ask. He asks them certain questions and he doesn't like what they have to tell him, until finally he calls the Jew and he asks the Jew, and the Jew says, we believe in the God who took us out of Egypt. And he says, oh, I know I shouldn't have asked the Jews. You've been exiled. You've lost all your wisdom. To which the Jew responds, he says, let me explain to you why I spoke this way. The king says, all your predecessors, all the other people I interviewed, they all said, we believe in the God who created the world. You begin with the God who took you out of Egypt. What logic is there in that? So the Jew tells him, look, if people would tell you that there's an amazing king who heals people, who's very kind, who does tremendous things, would there be any reason logically for you to believe that he even exists? So the king says, not. But if that king would send you gifts and things to heal your people and protect your country and all kinds of extraordinary gifts, then wouldn't you be obliged to believe he exists? Because he sent you something, you see that there's testimony to what you were told. So the king says, that's true. So he says, so that's what I answered you, that our connection to God, we don't know about creation, we weren't there. Our connection to God is from the fact that he did something tremendous. He took us out of Egypt and appeared to us at Har Sinai. And that's why God identifies himself in the Aseres HaDibros and the Ten Commandments. God doesn't say, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem, your God who created the world. God doesn't say that. God says, I am Hashem, your God who took you out of Egypt. That's where you met me. And as a result of that, I tell you, I created the world. You see, my awesome power, my unlimited power, that I control everything. So now that you know who I am, and I tell you I created the world, believe me, I created the world. But our belief in the fact that God created the world stems from the fact that God took us out of Egypt and revealed himself to us. So the Aseres HaDibros begin with that. I am Hashem, your God, who took you out of Egypt. God doesn't say, I am Hashem, your God, who created the world. Hashem introduced himself as the God who we've met through that miraculous event being taken out of Egypt, and now this miraculous event of standing at Mount Sinai. We're commanded not to have other gods, not to make any idols, even if we think we might not serve them. We're not allowed to make them. We're not allowed to bow them, serve them. Hashem says, I will pay back those who sin. If their children continue, I'll pay them back for their sinful ways and their grandchildren for four generations if they continue being sinful. But if a person does kindness, then Hashem repays for 1,000 generations. And here we see God's continuing will to do good to the world, to pay back for mitzvos more than he would pay back for averos. We'll get back to this point in a minute. We're commanded not to swear falsely, and we're commanded to keep Shabbos. When we're commanded to keep Shabbos, so in Parshas Yisro it says, Zachor es Yom HaShabbos, remember the day of Shabbos. So we learn out from that, how are we supposed to remember the day of Shabbos? We're supposed to sanctify the day of Shabbos. When Shabbos begins, we take a glass of wine, and over the glass of wine, that's a way of honoring the blessing, we bless the day of Shabbos. What is Kiddush on Friday night? Kiddush on Friday night is that special blessing in which we sanctify the Shabbos. We introduce it with a quotation. We introduce it with Yom HaShishi. We quote the whole parsha of how God finished creating the world on Shabbos. But the main point of Kiddush Friday night, we're sanctifying Shabbos. That's the main Kiddush. We're showing the holiness of Shabbos. What are we saying? Blessed are you, Hashem, who gave us holiness through the mitzvos and commanded us to keep Shabbos, this holy day. And then we continue, we expand on Shabbos, that it's a remembrance for the fact that we left Egypt, it's a remembrance for the creation. 6 days the world was created, on the seventh day God rested. We too rest. Blessed are you, Hashem, who gave holiness to Shabbos. So that which we do, that's the main Kiddush of Shabbos. We're giving holiness to Shabbos, we're sanctifying the day by saying this blessing. And we honor the blessing by saying it over a glass of wine, and obviously before we can drink wine, so we make the blessing Baruch Priya Gafen. That's learned out from the fact that God said, Zohar is Yom HaShabbos Lekatro, remember the day of Shabbos to give it holiness. And that's why Kiddush on Friday night is a mitzvah d'oraisa. So there are opinions that say that when we pray in shul, and we recount the fact that the world was created in 6 days and this 7th day is Shabbos, then we have fulfilled already the mitzvah d'oraisa of Kiddush. So we have a problem. If we fulfilled the mitzvah d'oraisa and our wives at home didn't daven ma'ariv, so they still have the mitzvah d'oraisa of Kiddush. So how can we make Kiddush for them? So a person should have the intent. When he says the Friday night prayer, we say it's a given that he doesn't mean to fulfill this mitzvah. Even though he could fulfill this mitzvah through the prayer of Friday night, he doesn't have that intent. His intent is, I do not want to fulfill this mitzvah right now. I'm going to do it when I get home and I make Kiddush for the family.
Every person or just a married person?
Well, just a married person probably. In this week's parsha, it says, Shomer is Yom HaShabbos Lekatro. Watch the day of Shabbos. We know that the word Shomer connotes a watching of Lo Sase, protect yourself from transgressing. Don't do something. What shouldn't we do? We should watch the Shabbos from what? So Chazal tell us Shomer is the Los Asei, it's the prohibitions of Shabbos. And the reason that both terms are used is Zohar v'Shomer b'dibur echad. When God said it, both came out. God said both words at once. We can't say two words at the same time. God could. God said both. And that was to signify that Es sheyeshno b'Shomer, yeshno b'Zohar. Ordinarily, women wouldn't be obliged to perform the mitzvos asei of Shabbos. We know that women don't have to do mitzvos asei shazman grama. Any positive commandment, any mitzvos asei that is connected to time, we have to put on tefillin every day. We have to say kriyashma in the morning and at night. These are mitzvahs that are bound by time. They're time defined. When this hour comes, you're supposed to perform this mitzvah. So women do not have to perform those mitzvahs. Tzitzis, you only have to wear by day, or you only have to wear on a garment that you wear by day. So that's defined by time. Women don't have to wear tzitzis. Lulav, you only have to shake on sukkahs. When sukkahs comes, you shake lulav. Women don't have to perform the mitzvahs of sukkahs. So you might say women don't have to perform all the mitzvahs asay on Shabbos. They don't have to make kiddush. The prohibitions, the los asay, that which God tells us don't do work on Shabbos, that they have to do. They have to do all los asay. But the asay, the positive commandments to make the Sabbath holy, make kiddush, maybe they don't have to. So God said no. On Shabbos we have a special halacha that Zohar and Shomer were said simultaneously to teach us that whoever is responsible to keep the prohibitions also has to keep the positive commandments, and women also have to do kiddush on Friday night. So the husband does it for them, but they have that mitzvah. In Yisro it says, Hashem tells the Jewish people, keep Shabbos as a remembrance for the fact that the world was created in 6 days, and on the seventh day God rested. In our parsha it says, keep the day of Shabbos, everyone should rest, don't do work, you, your children, your slaves, your animals, so you should remember that you too were a slave in Egypt and you rested. So what is Shabbos a remembrance of? It's a remembrance of the fact we left Mitzrayim, or it's a remembrance of the fact that the world was created in 6 days and God rested on the seventh day? So on Kiddush we say both. In Kiddush we say it's Zecher L'Maaseh V'Reishis, that Shabbos is a remembrance for the creation, the fact that God rested on the seventh day. And we also say that it's a Zecher L'Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's a remembrance for our leaving Mitzrayim. The Rambam says Shabbos includes both of them, because the fact that we're resting is a remembrance for God's resting, and for the fact that we were slaves and God took us out, and by taking us out God acquired us as His slaves and He commanded us to rest on this day of Shabbos. We discussed the Kuzari, that through Yetzias Mitzrayim we know that God created the world. So the Ramban says it in a slightly different way. The Ramban disagrees with the Rambam. He says when you rest on Shabbos, who sees that that has anything to do with Mitzrayim? You could say your resting on Shabbos is connected to the creation in 6 days and that God rested on Shabbos. That people recognize. That your resting corresponds to God's resting. But that your resting corresponds to your being a slave in Egypt, the Ramban says that he doesn't see. So the Ramban says the way it works is Shabbos is a remembrance for the fact that God rested on the seventh day. But what happens if a guy says, you know what, who said God created the world? So you might have a guy that's going to have doubts about it. So then we tell him, you remember the fact that you were taken out of Egypt. God revealed Himself to you there, and through that you'll know also that He created the world. Similar to the Kuzari, but his point is that the main point of Shabbos is a remembrance of Bereishis, of creation. We have the commandment, Kabed es avicha ve'esimecha, honor your father and mother. So, honoring one's parents is to give them to eat, to help them get dressed if they need help. If they need help doing things, we help them with that. Even putting on their shoes. When a father dies, we have to bury him. And we have special laws of mourning that ordinarily we mourn for a person 7 days, and there are certain things of mourning that extend for 30 days. Because of the honor we owe our parents, so when one's parents pass away, he mourns for them a full year. That mourning relates to different things. Like during that year, a person... we never... Not during that year. We never put together the tear that we tear over our parents. And during the year, there are opinions that say he should only shave and take a haircut every time his hair grows extra long. We don't listen to music, we don't go to have extra parties. If our friends are making parties, we don't go to them. Some say that this mourning isn't for the parent. Some say that this mourning is for the fact that we lost the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Aim. But that's not the prevalent opinion. Prevalent opinion is it's out of honor to our parents. That's a big chiddush, what we just said, that Rabbi Feinstein applies to use leniency. He says if there are situations where your father would want you not to obey that not to be in mourning, then your way of honoring him is by not maintaining that mourning. There are situations where we draw leniencies from that understanding. The end of the Aseres HaDibros, the end of the Ten Commandments, we're told not to covet. But here in Vayischanan, Moshe Rabbeinu adds, or says a little differently, he says, Velo tis'aveh, you shouldn't want. So there's to covet and to want. The person in his heart, he wants something. When a person attempts to get it, that's when he covets it. He sees his friend has a watch and he says, you know what, I really want that watch. So he goes over to his friend and he says, you know what, I'll pay you for that watch. How much do you want for it? Or he uses his power to get that watch. That's lo sachmo, that's coveting. Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Vayischanan says one shouldn't covet his friend's wife, his friend's home, his friend's cattle, everything his friend owns. In maybe because these are things that a person has inclinations to want. And Chazal tells these are things that a person not only wants, but they're the building blocks of a person's life. In Parshas Vayischanan, it's listed the other way around.